Let's do it again. Steely Dan, Chuck Mazganian is here from the Rockman Record Club.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
And Chuck, you have a new show coming to the Linda.
Yes.
On April 25th, all about Steely Dan's Asia record.
Yes. Fantastic record. Steely Dan's one of my favorite bands. One of the things I like about it is that it's so well recorded. Yeah. Steely Dan's stuff is just so well recorded. And Asia is like the pinnacle.
But you wanted me to start with Do It Again.
Well, that was the beginning. That's probably the first song that most people heard from Steely Dan. You know, that it was from their first album, Can't Buy a Thrill, sung by David Palmer, not Donald Fagen, which was changed in later years. Fagen became a little bit more comfortable being in front of an audience and singing. Although what really changed, I think, is for Steely Dan, after Do It Again and after a few of their earlier albums, they stopped being a live band. They stopped touring. If you listen to some of those early shows, any board mixes, they're fairly poor. He had a good reason not to like his voice. When they went into the studio and started really focusing in the studio, it's when a lot changed for Steely Dan.
What specifically were they, do you know what they were doing? Why were they doing that?
Becker and Fagen really had two guys with one brain type of attitude. If you watch any interviews with the two of them, they finish each other's sentences and each other's thoughts. And sometimes it's one of those things where it's two old guys sitting around and one guy starts to say something, the other guy just waves like, yeah, yeah, okay, I know what you're going to say. So it's unnecessary to use the words. Very, very funny, but musical historians. They loved the history of music, and they would use little musical references through everything. Every song has five or six different references to different kinds of things, different kinds of styles, and they were very good at putting that all together and making it cohesive and making it commercially viable. You know, a lot of people were doing jazz and rock, but they really made jazz rock a thing. The songs, marketable songs. And they weren't sticking in the 3-minute, 35-second songs either. They were doing longer songs, longer pieces of art, but just so well done. And they agonized over everything.
What about the production quality that they were looking at? Because their stuff was very clean, very clear.
They just knew the sound that they wanted, and they were very focused about not accepting less than what they wanted. It just wasn't going to happen. And there are some things that they recorded that they've never listened to again because they did not like the way they were recorded. People that they work with that they didn't like the vibe and they didn't like the style of things and it didn't end up the way they wanted to, they just never listened to it again. You know, a lot of recording is about the right instrument, the right placement of the microphone, the right microphone, the right player, humidity in the room. I mean, there's a million different things that go into recording. They were really focused on making them all be perfect. You know, I do a lot of live sound. Almost every live sound engineer that I know has used Steely Dan as a way to tune their system before a show. You know if it sounds good if Steely Dan sounds good through the system. It's going to sound good.
I'm here with Chuck Mazganian, Rockman Record Club. He's going to be at the Linda April 25th with Asia, the Steely Dan record. The personnel on this record, a lot of cool players.
Yeah, a lot of cool players. And actually, one of the guys that's on this record was also played on Do It Again, Victor Feldman. Victor Feldman is a piano player and a percussionist, plays vibes and xylophone, marimba, and he was on all the Steely Dan albums. He's the other guy, besides Becker and Fagen, that played on every single record, just an old jazz guy. They loved him, and they loved him because he was like them. He respected the history of the music and wanted to be a part of that. But if he wasn't going to make it better, I don't need to be in it. And he had that kind of attitude. They really respected that. And he's on Asia. Like I said, he's on all the albums. The other guy that I really dig is Bernard Purdy. Bernard Purdy is one of these guys. He's a drummer. He's played on, I'm going to say, thousands of songs, and I don't think it's an exaggeration. He's certainly played on hundreds of albums and many, many hundreds of songs. And he's on everything. And he even played some sessions with the Beatles. He did different things, different demo recordings and things like that. He's really one of these guys that everyone knows. He even has a drum beat, the Purdy Shuffle. He used to do this funny thing. He would go into a session and he'd set up his drums at the session and he put up two signs. One is, you done it. And the other one is, you hired the hit maker, Bernie Purdy. And his nickname was Pretty Purdy. And I think he gave his nickname to himself. But he played on everyone. And one of the songs that I love, one of my favorite Aretha Franklin songs, is the song Rock Steady. It's not Steely Dan, but it's Bernard Purdy. And you'll hear why Purdy is so good in this song.
Oh, we got to do that.
Yeah.
Chuck Mazganian, the Rockman Record Club. We'll talk more about Steely Dan's Asia. Let's first listen to Aretha with Purdy.
Perfect.
Pretty Purdy.
Pretty Purdy. Yeah. Beautiful Aretha.
Rock steady, baby. That's what I feel now.
Aretha Franklin's Rocksteady with Bernard Pretty Purdy.
Pretty Purdy.
Playing the drums there. Yeah. We could just spend like the next half hour talking just about that tune,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That's from the Aretha album, Young, Gifted, and Black. She was making a statement. It started with the album. Aretha's on the cover in an afro, and she's making a statement. It's a great album, and it's a really great song. If I want to get pumped up for something, that's what I play first. Yeah. If I have to go into a, I have to go into a meeting with my accountant, I listen to Rocksteady first.
Well, and I would think a lot of that has to do with Bernard playing the drums.
And he plays on two songs on Asia. He's on Home at Last, and he's also on Deacon Blues. A lot of people know Deacon Blues, but Home at Last is really such a great song. It talks about Homer, and it's the Iliad, and it's the Odyssey, and the idea of a rock musician being tied to the mast of a ship, not really under his control. They're talking about themselves, but they're talking about the world, and they're talking about life, and they're talking about history. It's all what makes Steely Dan really engaging. And Purdy is at the core of those songs. His beats, just the way that he calls his main beat, the thing that he's really known for, the Purdy Shuffle, but he does a lot of these dirty little shuffles, little things that just, he tightens up the hi-hat a little bit, and you can hear a little sizzle come off the hi-hat, and where he slaps the snare drum may not sound the same in every measure, exactly the same every time he hits it, and where he's playing on the cymbals, he just has this way of making the drum part sound like a percussion section, which is genius, absolute genius. And the guy is you know, he deserves his ego. He's very, very good. When you listen to straight ahead rock songs, it's driving the one and the three or the two and the four. That's what it's doing. With jazz is a lot about interleaving these different rhythms and melodies, creating second line melodies, creating even second line percussion things that are going on, so that there's always these different beats and different things driving the songs. And Purdy was a master of being full, but also leaving space, which is true about most of the great jazz drummers. A lot of these guys knew that overplaying, you know, the guys that have a drum set that's like 80 pieces, it's not what you have to hit, it's how you play them, right? And these guys had these stripped down five-piece, four-piece kits, and they used everything to great effect. And Purdy was that kind of drummer. He left space for everything, and he didn't necessarily lock in on the bass the way a lot of drummers will in rock. He allowed the bass to have its own place, but where he came together with the bass made it more powerful. And that's a big piece of how, especially at Home at Last, how that works. It just pulls it all together.
So we want to remind folks that you're going to be doing the whole presentation of the Rockman Record Club with Asia, the Steely Dan record from 1977. And let's walk folks through, what does that entail? What are you doing at a Rockman Record Club listening party?
When we get together, I talk about the history of the band, where they came from, what they were doing before they did the album. We talk about the recording studio.
And even times then, there are things that people think, oh, I know everything about Steely Dan. There's probably going to be a few things that you know that you found that people don't know.
Every time I write one of these, writing one of these shows takes me between 80 and 100 hours. Mm. And between the writing, the research, getting the photographs, doing all the music, every time I do one, I learn something new. That's what engages me. That's what I look for, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. I read everything. I watch interviews. I watch live performances. I listen to things that people say, the way they introduce songs. I mean, there's a million different things that come into it. So I do a lot of research, and I look for things that I don't know. And I figure if I don't know them, you probably don't know them either. Sometimes I'll say something and everybody will go, yeah, we knew that already. Okay, that's cool. I go through a bunch of stuff on where the band came from, the players who played what, basically the liner notes, like in the old days when you sat on the sweet spot on the couch in your parents' house between the two speakers, take out the album cover and just stare at the album cover. Yeah, it's such a cool thing. That's what I do. I do the liner notes, and then we get into the album. So we go through, we play all the songs on side one, we take a little break, we come back, we do a trivia contest, we get into the album cover, talk about the different album art, and then we talk about the sales of the record and look at the different formats that the album was available in. Everybody always loves seeing the 8-tracks and the reel-to-reel tapes because that reminds us of back in the day. Then we go back and listen to side two, and then I wrap it up. And it's just really a lot of fun. And the Linda sound system's absolutely fantastic. I mean, if there's ever a system to listen to Asia on, it's at the Linda.
Chuck Vazganian, the Rockman Record Club. The next show we're talking about here is the one April 25th at the Linda. He'll be playing Steely Dan's Asia.
Asia. Fantastic record. 1977. A long time ago, Chris.
So shall we listen to Home at Last?
Absolutely.
All right.